This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Steve Jones Show. We are here live in the Sunbury Motors studio. We are sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and, of course, Sunbury Motors, Sunbury Motors, Kia, and Hummel's Wharf as well. Steve's still in Minneapolis. Penn State fell last night in the late game to Indiana, 60-58. Now, I don't think it was quite that, but... It was a two-point game, game-winning shot by Leal on a putback late in about 3.2 seconds left. Tough loss for the Nittany Lions. It was, you know, it was a pretty, all things considered, it was a pretty impressive performance by the Nittany Lions. Really struggled shooting the ball. I think they were 4 of 21 at one point in the first half. Really stayed in it with their foul shooting. Were kind of able to, keep Indiana in sight until they were able to hit some shots early in the second half, and then it was a real close and entertaining game in the second half. What else did I watch last night? Watched Duke, a lot of Duke and North Carolina State. That was kind of a surprise to me. You know, Duke had been playing fairly well. North Carolina State, I think, was just a couple games above 500, but they looked real impressive. But you know how that goes in a conference tournament. They could revert to what they were all year when they come out tonight in the semifinals. Watched a little bit of BC and Virginia, and that was close. I wouldn't go as far to say it was real entertaining at times, but, you know, that stayed close, and Virginia was able to pull that one out. Watched a little bit.
There we go.
I
got it. Yeah. No, just I had trouble connecting. Yeah, it's another Kevin Hurd production. You just don't know. I mean, I believe that the equipment he gave me was made in the old Soviet Union. So, if you hit it on the side, and it works because it only understands force. All right, so.
Or your Fonzie.
All right. Oh yeah, yeah, not that good. All right, so I'm still in Minneapolis, if you're wondering. We can't leave until 5 o'clock this afternoon because of plane availability. So that's where we are. I will start with Aaron Donald retiring, then we'll get to Penn State Pro Day. Aaron Donald, it set the standard for what the truly great defensive tackle is. There'll be defensive tackles that will come into the league, and they will be measured by Aaron Donald. That's how great he was. I'm sitting here in Minnesota, and there is a state judge that is here in Minneapolis, that, or at least was for a long time, by the name of Alan Page. And Alan Page was one of those who, back in the 70s, set a standard along with Joe Green. In other words, when you're comparing tackles, hey, Alan Page, hey, Joe Green, right? Aaron Donald is now that for the new generation. That's how great he was. So, won a Super Bowl, was great in the Super Bowl, And yeah, I think there's not much more he can say. Look, I talked about Aaron Donald when he was a Pitt. I said, this guy is, man, I'm doing the show. I'm talking about Aaron Donald on the show. I said, watch out, this guy is a great player. Because, you know me, people like Pitt, Penn State, all that. You know darn well I could care less about, you know, if Larry Fitzgerald's great, he's great. Okay? If Aaron Donald's great, he's great. You don't waste words putting down somebody because of what school they went to. You just look at them and go, huh, player, really good. Well, Donald then translated that in the NFL where he was tremendous. And again, all future defensive tackles will be measured against him. Like, where are you on the Aaron Donald scale? How great are you really? Now, Penn State Pro Day today. Saquon Barkley, by the way, was there today. Which was great. Great to get him back on campus. No practice today. Penn State will go tomorrow morning, as a matter of fact. Curtis Jacobs put on quite a show today at Pro Day. And Curtis has put himself, I think, in a position where, and part of this is guesswork on my part, but, you know, when you put together the combine and the pro day, he may have been able to put himself into the second day of the draft. Now, we'll find out, because you just don't know how draft order goes and needs and things like that as to how it plays out. But Curtis Jacobs really impressed a lot of people by what he did at the combine and what he did at the workout. Interesting part was that when Olu Fashanu was done, the Jets left. Okay, Jets go. Fashanu's done, leaving. We've seen enough. Time to go. Keaton Ellis, to his credit, did very well today. And Kalen King improved his 40 time over the combine, which helped. So those are some of the highlights that came out of it. Hunter Norzad not able to do a lot of work. He'd been banged up. He is going to do individual workouts. So that's how he'll try and get himself into a camp, by using the individual workouts. So those are some of the impressions from Pro Day today that took place at Huluba Hall. Pluses. I mean, a lot of people use the. I always love the. Look, the 40 is interesting. It's interesting. And of course, you know, it's not the be all end all, but it's interesting. Right? Because you can then take. You know, it's just an interesting number. Now, they put the bar at 225 pounds. I know Sean Fitz reported that Trey Potts did 22 reps, Theo Johnson 19. Adisa is going to be drafted high. 20 reps. Daquan Hardy did 15. Keaton Ellis did 13 reps today. And then they got to the 40 times today. And of course, you know, and then they did the long jump, the broad jump, and then I think Sean Clifford was there throwing. So Sean was there throwing today, and then Drew Aller also threw as well. Deshaun Hamilton was there. I guess he got banged up a little bit on one of the drills. And Trace McSorley was there, and Grant Haley there as well. And I'm going to see Grant and Trace tomorrow at practice. 40-yard dash times. Kalen King ran 4.52. That's better than what he ran in Indianapolis. So that was a big plus for him to run 4.52, and he needed to do that, because of the perception of it. There's a lot of perception here. I mean, the guy has cover skills and so forth, but Kalen King ran 4.52. That really helps him. Keaton Ellis ran 4.43. Keaton Ellis all did 4.43, and Trey Potts ran 4.6. They did the shuttle. And on the shuttle, King did really well on the shuttle. And that helped him as well. I think he was like 4-1-3 or something like that on the shuttle when he was running that today. He ran, what did I say, 4-1, what did I say, 4-1-3? It was actually 4-1-4. Daquan Hardy did 4-1-7. Adisa 4-2-7. See that dexterity? Keaton Ellis 4-3-5. Curtis Jacobs 4-4-0-0, and Caden Wallace did 4-7-8. Okay? So those are some of the numbers. And look, the bottom line is going to be you've put down tape, for goodness sakes. And these guys all have tape. But, Drew Aller was out throwing to Theo Johnson today. It was good. Sean Clifford was there throwing as well. Some of these guys are going to stick around for the weekend. There's going to be a lot of recruits here this weekend as well. So a lot going on. So that's the pro day part of it. The draft has become so interesting in that – like, well, I'll sit there and I'll there's so many players now, as you know, Todd. A lot of teams churn out players. You may have a star player that's, terrific, or guys that transfer. Penn State usually continues to do really well with all this. Their guys usually combine out really well, which is great. And puts them in a great spot to be drafted, and that's what you're able to do. But the bottom line is you put down a lot of tape. I know I always refer to it as tape. It sounds, old-fashioned. But you put down all this video. I mean, lots and lots of video. So they can see what kind of football player you are. There are going to be some things that do happen where you want maybe some numbers to back up what you're looking at, and I get that. I want all the information possible. But to me, it's still how do you play? What kind of player are you? And then do the numbers end up backing up what the video says? I'm a big believer in great athletes who are football players, great athletes who are basketball players, as opposed to great athletes who happen to play football and great athletes who happen to play basketball. Do you know what I mean by that, Todd?
I do. I think a perfect example of that might be Kadarius Toney out of Kansas City. You read about all his athletic skills, and that the biggest issue with him is he's just not a real good or smart football player. He just kind of plays football because of his athleticism more than anything.
Right. I'm here at the Big Ten tournament. I can identify pretty quickly, especially sitting courtside when you're doing these games, like which guys are great athletes that are basketball players and which guys are athletes that are playing because they happen to, they happen to play basketball. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back more in a moment. Great to have you with us today from Minneapolis. This half hour being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
It's time to put your...
Todd, I was listening to that ad about applying. Anything we should know?
I don't know. maybe I should be worried. I haven't seen him yet today, so maybe I'll hide somewhere.
Or maybe it's the corner office. Have you walked by? Is it... Is it being dusted? What's going on?
I think I did see him leave for lunch, so there's at least that.
Are they putting new furniture in? What? They're just asking. All right. Purdue leads Michigan State 46-38. Last night, the bottom line is Penn State offensively, they have one great spurt in the game. That spurt in the second half got them the lead. But you have to. They just could not get the consistency offensively to win the game. You're not going to win a game shooting 28%. And that's the weird part. They shot 28% and lost by two. Really? Shot 28%, lost by two. I'll tell you. You know it's going to be a big loss for this program. They're going to have to replace them somehow. But that's Kudus Wahab, the 6'11 center who had started his career at Georgetown. He transferred to Maryland, went back to Georgetown, and then came here. The guy I saw in the summer and the guy I saw in the fall in practices is not the guy I see now. Over the last, I'd say, 3 months of the season, he played terrific basketball, and in my mind, I know that they have three teams in the Big Ten and so forth, but my goodness, he's got to be one of the top, let's just be loose, five centers in the conference. 10 points, 8 boards a game, consistent. And I know last night he struggled shooting, and that was one of the killers. He didn't hit a shot from the field last night, but he still had 9 rebounds in the game. And he's in there going up against Khalil Ware is an NBA player. Renew is not. Okay? Renew is not going to be an NBA player. In my opinion, he's not going to be. I know he'd love to be, but Ware is. I think Ware's got a decision to make after this season's over as to what to do. He should definitely go to the NBA combine. Because anybody that can that has that kind of length, can face up, has the soft touch that he has. He's really, really good. Yet, Q went in against him last night toe-to-toe, and he did really a terrific job against him last night. And it's really tough when your top two scorers, Ace and Q, I think they were, 3 for 21 last night from the field.
That's
a killer.
Ace's first make was the drive to open the second half, I think.
Yeah, it was. It was. So, and again, they lost on a bucket with 5 seconds to go in the game. And by the way, when Puff's shot is, I will get into the timeout part because I always love the thought process on the timeout. I want to talk about that quickly because Mike easily made the right choice.
My biggest takeaway is I wish Mike had another year to work with this group.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, and we're still mobile in Minneapolis today. Just found out I'm C-25F when we fly out at 5. Wonderful. And Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And this half hour of the show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. And as always, customer service means everything to them. They're exactly the kind of people you want to be with. They're the best in the business, and they believe in customer service and that you get individual attention. You're fully insured. They want to save you money. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Okay. So, Braden Smith, the really terrific sophomore point guard for Purdue. They're playing Michigan State. Good game. It's 48-45, Purdue with 11 minutes to go. Smith was driving to the bucket, and Tyson Walker slapped down at the ball and missed the ball with his hand and hit him hard in the knee, and Smith went down. Chad Young, the trainer, went running over, and now he's in the back area. And it looks like he's walking it off right now, so I wouldn't doubt he comes back in. But see, I see stuff like that, and you get a little cynical about stuff these days. You know, the first thing I thought of, there's going to be somebody that will see that happen. Somebody, a person. And you look, there's billions of people in the world. There's 335 million people in this country. Everybody has opinions. Oh, I'll tell you, maybe they shouldn't have these conference tournaments. Or you ought to hold the players out of the conference tournament, get them ready for the NCAAs. I am so baffled by this. It has baffled me forever about, you know, they might get hurt. You got to hold them out. Stop bubble wrapping people. Things happen. That same thing could happen in the first round of the tournament. I mean, come on. I'm pretty sure, based on what it looked like him walking in the back area at the Target Center, that he's going to play. But I'm telling you, there's going to be somebody that says that. Somebody will say it. Every time I turn around, there's always advocacy to not play. Well, then why bother having games? Since nobody, you know, they were protecting everybody, they don't play. Trey Holloman's trying to go chest to chest with Zach Edey. That's good. Hey, Trey, guess what? Okay. This is why you're a sophomore. Like, be smart. You don't see Malik Hall going chest to chest with him as a senior, do you? See, that's what there's so much advocacy to not do things these days because you might get hurt. Well, you might get hurt in warm-up.
Could step wrong off the curb on the way into the arena.
Exactly. Come on. You know? I mean, first of all, games are work, a lot of skill, but also for the players, the games should be fun. I mean, I hope they're looked at as fun. I don't want the games to be a means to an end. They should be fun.
I've never met a player that prefers practice to a game. So.
No. And practice is harder than the game, mostly.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
You don't run near as much in the game as you do in practice.
Now let's get to end of the game last night. Leal makes a fine play, gets the right spot, right time, and makes the layup. Okay. And look, and Leal is I was talking to Don Fisher, Indiana's play-by-play guy, afterwards. I said, Don, he is the ultimate older program guy. He goes, oh, God, yes. Everybody in the program loves that kid. That's why the fans love him. He's not a starter. He's not a star. But you know what? He gets the layup. So Mike Rhodes does have a timeout remaining, but there's 5.1, I think 5.1, 5.2 remaining. Okay. Penn State gets the ball in right away, down the floor. And Puff Johnson gets a pretty good look at a three. And I don't mean like, you know, a deep three. It's like near the line three. And I could tell when he released it, it was short. Because I was right at that foul line calling it. And when he released it, I could tell it was short. But Indiana's backing up. Indiana is not – this is a major flaw for Indiana – that will hurt them moving forward is that they're not very good in transition. And with Kudus Wahab fouled out, Nick Kern fouled out, Puff playing with four, Penn State's going to go for a three. They don't, you know, let's end the game one way or the other now. Overtime was going to be extremely problematic for them. So you're against a team that's not good in transition. I mean, really, if you're grading transition on a high level, A down to F, right, I would say that Indiana's transition defense is C-minus, D-plus, okay? So you're now attacking a weakness. You've got them scrambling, and they're not great at scrambling in transition. That's why it's a problem for them. And Puff Johnson ended up getting a really good look at it, just turned out the shot was short. Okay. All right. Mike didn't call a timeout. Well, Mike shouldn't have called the timeout. They knew what they wanted to do, and they got the best shot they could. Even if you call a timeout, you now allow Indiana to set up, and you take away the advantage you might have of going against a mediocre transition team. It's like this, I realize people watch a lot of TV, and they've got, you know, I got to call timeout. You know, Dickie V, T.O., take a T.O. No, you don't always need a T.O., okay? Penn State got the best shot it could, and they got the best shot they could because they took advantage of a perceived Indiana weakness, and that is their transition defense.
What play was Mike going to design anyway that was going to get a more open look than Puff got on that shot anyway?
Exactly right. He wasn't going to. But some people said they should have used a timeout. I don't mind people suggesting that. That's fine. I understand that. There's two schools of thought. Braden Smith, by the way, is walking back on the floor, which is great. So that's good. He is a very, very, very talented player. It's one, you know, Smith is a kind of, especially when he's going right. Man, is he good when he goes right. I mean, because he becomes he is an A-plus passer when he's going to his right. Left, not so much. That's why you got to turn him a certain way. But, you know, it's good to see him back, and he's talking to the assistant coaches about his injury, and they're all laughing about it, so it can't be that bad. But, again, I mean, these are all, you know, you talk about having all the information, and that's why you do scouting, and that is why you go through all the tapes and so forth. And that's why in a position like that, that's why the head coach has all that information in his head ahead of time. Where you look out and go, okay, ahead of time, what happens to be one of the weaknesses of this team? Well, in that situation, one of the primary weaknesses of the team that they are facing happened to be that situation. And Puff was short with the shot. It was exactly, I did not in any way, shape, or form expect Mike to call a timeout. No way. I don't think I said it on the broadcast. And the reason I didn't say it in the broadcast is for a very simple reason. Leal scores with 5 seconds to go. The ball's quickly in, and they're going. So you're not sitting there talking strategy. We'd only talk strategy if Mike had called the timeout. But they did exactly what I thought they would do based on, you know, how they practiced. I knew how they wanted to approach it, and they did exactly what they wanted at the end. And they got, as you said correctly, Todd, they got the best shot I think they could possibly get in the situation that had a chance. That had a chance. Now Indiana plays Nebraska tonight. But like, call a timeout. Call a timeout to do what? Let Indiana set up, thus giving them a better chance to defend it? Or do you not call a timeout? Your team knows what to do, because you can tell they knew what to do. They got the shot they got. And exploit an area that is a potential weakness for Indiana, a weakness that everybody has scouted in the conference. See what I'm saying?
I think that's the sign of a good coach, too, is to know when not to overcoach, when to trust your players to know what they're going to do, what to do.
Right, and also to understand what the other team can and is not. Understand what the other team is good at and an area that they struggle in. Right? So, you know, your players, they know what to do in the situation. They got what they needed. Then the next part is also in combination with what the opposition does well and an area where the opposition struggles. And then you put it all together and you say, you know, we know what to do. Don't call a timeout. Let's run the play.
I mean, I'm thinking maybe if it's November that, you know, you have to call a timeout there so know what to do. But it's March now.
Well, say next year, for example, with all the transfers and so forth, it's an older team, right? Well, you know, all running a new system. But say next year they're in a situation and they've got, let's just say, a couple of freshmen on the floor. Well, you might call timeout. Because now you've got to really maybe baby a couple of guys through the situation that they're not used to. Well, and then you go from there, and then when they do a couple things to give you some confidence as a coach, you don't need to, then you don't. I mean, every team brings with it different personnel challenges or personnel advantages. And Mike did it. In fact, to be honest with you, that wasn't even, in my opinion, I don't even think that was a difficult call. I mean, remember the end of the Illinois game. Right? The end of the Illinois game in Rec Hall. Coleman Hawkins misses two free throws. Okay? 18 seconds to go. Okay? Penn State got the rebound. What didn't Mike do?
Call his timeout.
He did not call a timeout, and he had a timeout. Came down the floor. Boom. Ace got to a little bit, to maybe a foot inside the foul line, kicked it out to Zach, and then Hawkins fouled Hicks on the three because Illinois was scrambling around. Okay? Zach hits all three free throws with 4.2 seconds to go. Okay? Illinois is out of timeouts. What doesn't Mike do? Mike doesn't call a timeout because now Illinois, without timeouts, has to scramble to do something. And, again, time, score, situation, perceived weaknesses of the opponent, perceived strengths of the opponent, your perceived strengths, and your weaknesses. I mean, you put that all together, and it's, you know, and Mike did that, and he made the right call. People have asked about why Demetrius Lilly wasn't in the game when Wahab fouled out. Meech's back has been bothering him, and when he went to the sideline last night, I made the comment that he did not go and sit down on the bench. He immediately went to the side area and was laying at times face down and other times on his back. And he couldn't go back in the game. So if you're wondering why they went with Raquandus Mitchell and not Meech when Wahab fouled out, it's because at that point Meech was not available. Okay? Looks like they're formalizing the college football playoff. We're going to talk about the playoff at 12. They're still not settled on 14 yet, on 12, and also what it means financially. Because, again, people say, oh, you talk money a lot. Hey, you don't have 31 programs in your athletic department like Penn State does, you have to be able to finance it. All this stuff makes a lot of sports that you love happen. Okay? I'll never forget the men's gymnastics team. About 3 weeks ago, maybe? A month ago? They're on the plane right ahead of us. It's the first time men's gymnastics had ever chartered. And you should have seen how excited those kids were. And I asked Randy Jepson about it a week later. I said, Randy, he says, Steve, he says, it was, he said, for all of them, it was a thrill. They got back after the meet. He says, because of the charter, they didn't have to miss any class. I mean, you know, little things, okay? Little things, take care of the little things. Big things, take care of themselves. Money helps you take care of the little things that make a difference. We will come back. We'll talk about that. And the numbers are big. We'll talk about that in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
He just went down hard. Now he's fine. He got up. It's going to be a hook and hold call on Mati Sissoko. I mean, I don't think that's a hard call to make.
When you're Zach Edey's size, any fall is a hard fall.
Oh boy, no, but it's the way his leg twisted.
Oh,
he's fine. He's fine though. Ah. He's fine. But again, you take him out, bubble wrap him, don't play him. It's like, okay, now Zach's back out there. So here is what the Sissoko, by the way, fouled out. But here's what the Pete Thamel, Heather Dinich, usual great reporting from ESPN.com on the college football playoff agreement. It's right now it stands at 12. It's definitely 12 the next 2 years. They're still negotiating whether to push it to 14, which you and I both know will happen. I mean, we know it will happen. But it hasn't happened officially yet. But this is what the – and then the next part is they should have very quickly that $1.3 billion per year deal done with ESPN. This is what it's going to mean. Right now, each Big Ten at each SEC school, well, how about if we work our way up, okay? Group of five currently gets $1.5 million per school. The new agreement will kick it up to $1.8 million a school. Okay. Notre Dame is going to get a little bit more than $12 million out of this per year. Each school in the Big 12 will get a little bit more than $12 million out of this. Each school in the ACC will get a little bit more than $13 million out of it. This is per school. And the Big Ten and the SEC, which each were getting $5.5 million per school each year, will get a little bit more than $21 million per school per year. Wow. How about that?
That's not a bad little raise.
Well, exactly. But again, this is the money. Like, somebody saw Penn State's spending numbers this past year. You know, like, well, you know, there wasn't really much of a margin between expenses and revenue. Yeah, because Pat Kraft knew that, A, he had to do several things, right, and get it going now. But he also knew that this money was coming in on the horizon. He knew he was going to be getting a bigger TV deal, right? With, you know, because the current numbers that were put out in, what was it, February? The numbers that were put out in February were through June 30th of last year. That's the old TV package. Okay, the new TV package is exponentially higher. He knew that this college football playoff number is coming in. Now, that won't be reflected in next year. But the year after, okay, when they get to fiscal year 25? Fiscal year 25? So, right, that this is what's going to be included. A higher TV number, because it goes up every year. Two, it's going to include the new college football playoff number from 5.5 to 21 million, minimum of 21 million. And it's going to include the new radio deal with Playfly, which is double what they were getting before. Right? I mean, they haven't released them. I know what the numbers are, okay? They didn't release the numbers, but I know what they are, obviously. Okay, it's double, and it's not a small number. Okay, I will at least say that it is eight figures per year. How about that? Okay, and that will all be reflected. These are all increases in three dramatic areas. So when I'm talking about the men's gymnastics team chartering, I mean, Cale should charter everywhere. I mean, everywhere. Anytime he wants, he should charter. Okay? Things like that, they're just important investments in student athletes. That's where the money's going. That's not some private Swiss bank account where it's all being stowed away. Yeah. I mean, I remember Bob called the show and he asked about the number of administrators. But this is where Penn State needs to do a better job of telling its story about, hey, look, we're putting the money into this, we're putting the money into that, into this. All right? And, you know, I know I'm going to be going out and speaking. I'm going to go to Daytona and Jacksonville. I'm going to Lawrence County. I've already got Pittsburgh lined up. You know, and I'm going to talk about this. That, hey, you know, if that's where this money is going, right, to make their experience better and easier.